Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Regular Legislative Meeting, Part 1 of 3 Parts, April 12, 2016.
I did attend the designer bag thing. Yes,
did you win a bag?
I did not win a bag. But it was a wonderful evening. A lot of hard work went in there. This is just a small way to say thank you to some of the volunteers that the PTO was involved. So I have one for each of you, and I'll just read one and let you all go. Recognition for volunteer service. It is an honor to present Krista Siebelak Kerr, Chase, with recognition for your volunteer service at the Cheltenham School District and Cedar Brook Middle School. Presented this 12th day of April 2016, signed by Board President Bill Englund. Krista, thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you, and I did prepare a speech. This is our second year in doing Designer Bag Bingo, and we total close to 20 grand.
Wow. You're a rough crowd. I have one for Terry Kelly. Thank you so much. I met that one here for Emily is not here. And Amy Blum, thank you so much. And thank you all for
over 5 years experience in teaching Spanish, most recently as a long-term substitute at Cheltenham High School. This year, we're very lucky to have her at Cedar Brook, where she is teaching 5 sections of our 8th grade Spanish 2. So, Dana Brown. Our next person is Melanie Gojoy, and I know that Dr. Marseille loves her last name because I've heard him say, I just love that last name.
Hi, Gojoy.
When he walks through the building, hi, Gojoy. Melanie is a graduate of Temple University. She has a degree in special education with a specialty in learning and emotional support. She comes to us from Wordsworth Academy and is doing a terrific job starting our first year ever of our emotional support program at Cedar Brook.
Melissa, are they here?
Yes, they are. Please come forward. I'm sorry. Melissa Bertoni. Melissa is a reading specialist who comes from graduated Wilkes University. She has over 5 years in the field as a reading specialist and is doing a tremendous job with our 7th grade and 8th grade reading program, as well as our 7th grade core success. And one of my favorite things that Melissa started doing this week is she is helping us out of need, and she moved her desk and chair out in the hallway and is helping us get lunches. And I have to say, we really appreciate that. So thank you. Kristen Samore. Kristen is a 7th grade English teacher who comes to us from Bethel University in Minnesota. She has many years' experience in Philadelphia School District as a teacher of literacy and a literacy leader in Philadelphia. She also taught English in Peru. which is very exciting. And she has really emerged as a leader amongst our English teachers this year. So welcome and thank you. Mercedes Walton Mason. Mercedes comes to us from Shippensburg University and is teaching 7th grade Spanish at Cedarbrook. She has experience in the Chester Charter School system and has done a wonderful job this year. One of my favorite anecdotes with Mercedes is in her class, if you ever have the pleasure of coming to visit, there is zero downtime. You almost can't breathe between transitions. That's how rapid and quick, and it's so much fun to watch the students as they transition from activity to activity, say the alphabet in Spanish, or counting in Spanish, or doing something in that 1 second that they have between activities. So all of our new teachers are doing a great job. They have been fabulous additions to Cedarbrook, and I'm so glad they could be with us tonight. So thank you.
Thank you.
Extraordinary. Bevan McShay wrote some things that he wanted me to share about the artwork and his heart that I can memorize all this. I couldn't. So on behalf of Bevan McShay, you'll see that there's fabulous artwork adorning the walls. I must say that for a middle school program, for any program, Cedarbrook really does a fabulous job in all of the arts. One of the things that is special about our program is that we also offer an art major and an advanced art program, which is unique to most middle schools. So I'm going to read what Mr. McShay said about the artwork. Starting from the back panel by the Cedarbrook sign, we had 7th grade observational studies of light projects leading to one color monochromatic pieces, where the goal is to limit the tints and the shades to one color and to create emotion and atmosphere. We then have advanced class color theory studies involving mixing and using primary color schemes in an environment. The world culture projects begin on the fourth panel, where the 8th grade students study the influence of Asia and Africa on modern art and are inspired by the traditional visual style of the country of culture of their choice. These continue to the first panel of the back wall, where 7th grade students work on abstract landscapes inspired by the artists Clay and Hunswiler. A random shape exercise was done before the project began to encourage abstraction, as the 7th grade students had been working on observational realistic studies for the first 3 weeks of the cycle. The other back wall shows some independent study projects and variations, as well as examples of the song collage, where the students try to create a piece in the viewer's mind, creating a realistic image. The board in the hallway has several examples of 7th and 8th grade artwork from the beginning of the cycle. The students get to select their medium for almost every project after the observational unit of 7th grade. That is why the examples range from oil pastel to chalk pastel to color. The object of the program is to encourage students not only to embrace visual arts, but to find their voice in expressing and their feelings and ideas through a creative outlet. So I think, as you can tell by the passion in Mr. McShay's write-up and by the beautiful artwork of the student, Cedarbrook really does a wonderful job with the arts. So thank you.
I want to thank you for coming forward and sharing a little bit about Cedarbrook and the amazing artwork. And the arts are very important here. We just heard a little bit from the high school. But I wanted to say that on behalf of the board, Cedarbrook performed last month The Little Mermaid. It was a wonderful production. Would you please pass word to all those involved? What a wonderful job they did. We're very proud.
Production at as was the one in the fall. They really do an amazing job in drama, and I will certainly pass that on to Mrs. Rosenberg and Mr. Malitz.
Thank you.
And your daughter did a great job, didn't she?
Our school district. Mr. Eisner is a math teacher. He's taught Algebra 1, he's taught assessment readiness math, calculus, pre-calculus, all of these courses that really prepare our students for the future. He's also certified in science and physics, I believe.
Yes.
And was the science department chair from 1996 to 2003 at the high school. He loved coaching the future problem-solving students and coached teams which made it to international competition for several years. But really most noteworthy is that he enjoys coming into work every day and keeps looking for new ways to teach his subject. And the students and all of us are great beneficiaries of that. So, congratulations.
School District, 25 years service award presented to Scott Eisner in grateful appreciation and recognition of dedication, service, support for the education of the students in the School District of Chelsea Township. Mr. Eisner, I appreciate the job of the last 25 years.
Simple Machines, who recently competed in their first competition of the season. The robot and team performed amazingly, were picked as part of the alliance and won the event. Our team now advances to the district championship at Lehigh University this weekend. And I was unable to make the event, but I was keeping monitoring progress on the website. I kept refreshing my page, trying to get a glimpse of how we're doing, so congratulations. Cheltenham High School sophomores Meet Slowly and Michelle Unglefu both won awards at the recent Montgomery County Science Fair competition. each student advanced to the next local competition held at the Pennsylvania Convention Center and represent our district extremely well. So thank you for those students. Special recognition goes out to Chaminade High School senior Alana Cohen, who was a 2016 National Center for Women in Informational Technology Philadelphia affiliate winner. So congratulations. Also, congratulations to Cheltenham Elementary's first grade students as they made up the top 20 finalist group in Philadelphia Zoo and Less contests. The project was chosen from thousands of entries across the tri-state area. The winner will be chosen on May 16th. Last Thursday, Winnipeg Elementary held its first family fun with Fitness Night. Members of the fitness world came to share their love and enthusiasm for health and fitness. We want to thank those who participated, ProBound Training, Open Elite Fitness, Kazakh Cycle, Philadelphia Rockton, Arcadia University Athletics for making this event such a huge success in supporting our district and our students. Tomorrow night, Glenside Elementary is hosting its annual diversity festival that begins at 6:30, 8 p.m. So we hope that those who are available can come out and spend some time with us. And of course, we can't leave without reminding you, Footloose, April 14th through the 16th. So get your tickets. I hear they're going really hot. So make sure you purchase that and go support our students. They did a wonderful job. So thank you very much. I had wanted to update the community in terms of a letter that I sent out March 8th to our community detailing some of the systemic changes that we need and how we strengthen and build for the future. Follow-up to that letter was a letter that I sent out later on this afternoon to our community highlighting the second phase of personnel. These critical roles that I talked about in the letter really fill some substantial gaps above and where essentially we need to be to support student achievement and growth. These positions will prepare us to implement and evaluate new curricula, increase our delivery of 21st century skill-based instruction, and maximize our professional development program for our talented staff. I want to tell you that change is often difficult. Change takes a long time. There are things that we can begin to do immediately to set us in the trajectory where we need to be. So with that, I think it's extremely important that when you think about moving from good to great, you need to think about how you create a systemic organization in terms of getting the right people in the right positions to help the organization, which requires some really disciplined thought and disciplined action, and that is our collective commitment. So the last several months, I have been thinking, the team has been thinking deliberately about how do we create much stronger organizational team. What I've done is I have consolidated and collapsed and modified some positions in order to support our next 5 years of strategic planning. And the director of education K-12 was significantly too broad of a position that did not require the focus that was needed on our instructional practice. So what I've done is I've collapsed several positions, made a director of elementary that will primary focus on the K-6 instructional work. Also, our director of secondary will focus on 7 through 12. I'm really excited that Ms. Parker, who has a rich professional background, who's been in the district for a long time, who has a tremendous background as a preschool supervisor, a kindergarten teacher, an elementary math and reading intervention specialist, fifth and sixth grade teacher, eventually middle school and principal, and of course her current role at the high school. She graciously accepted to take on another set of challenges and support the district at the central office level. So we're excited with having her on board and supporting us in that particular role. In addition to that, it was extremely important that in the 21st century, in a suburban school district, who is trying desperately to ensure that all of our students have cutting edge competitive advantage with the experiences we have, that we need to think differently about how we incorporate STEM across the curriculum K through 12. And I want to let everyone know that for those who worry about the fact that we may not talk about the arts and STEAM is not up there, rest assured that we understand the connection with the arts and STEM, and that will not be forgotten. Another area of focus is our intent to provide a stronger support for our gifted professional learning as we move forward. We need a professional learning experience that helps us build a long-term continuum that supports teacher growth. And as you will see here, and it's very difficult to see because it's so small, but this represents an image of interpretation of our organizational chart. Many of the, if you see the blocks that are in different colors, are positions that have been put into place through collapsing of some positions and shifting of some others. One of the things that we also need support in, and I think this district has asked for that for quite some time, is a supervisor of buildings and grounds. I don't have to remind this community that we have over 1 million square foot of buildings. And since we had 2011, we had Glenside, 2015, Winkler opened up, 2012, elementary. All of those increased square footage. But yet, I think that we were remiss in not providing the appropriate resources to ensure those buildings remain for a very long time. So we're really excited about that opportunity, considering that we've grown 162,000 square feet and have not provided the level of support that we need. So when I think about the work that needs to be done here in the next 5 years that we're committed to, that to build this organization requires much more than top-down type of leadership. It is more than grassroots. It's really about everyone being part of this process. Nothing speaks stronger to that than the last year that we have been very deliberate about the conversations that we've had moving forward, and the five strategic pathways that will guide our work. So I'm excited because I know that in a relatively short period of time, those things that help create experiences that drive innovation, the things that will make Cheltenham once again a model for excellence in education is right around the corner. I'm extremely confident in the team that we have built and confident with moving forward. So I'm excited with this new shift as we begin to finalize a strategic plan that we'll talk about in more detail on May 17th at our Ed Affairs will be presented. So thank you.
Moving along, we have a report from the solicitor.
Yes, thank you. A couple things. First, I'd like to bring to the board and the public's attention our recent legislation passed, which will go into effect May 24th, allowing school districts to invest public funds in additional financial products not available as of today. What this means is that school districts, including Cheltenham, that wish to take advantage of these investment changes should review your existing investment policies and procedures to determine whether these newly permitted investments need to be expanded to authorize investing in these additional financial products. With respect to the Sunshine Act announcements, tonight there were three executive sessions held since the last public board meeting, public regular board meeting, one on March 28th, which was to discuss, hold information and strategy sessions related to the negotiation of a collective bargaining agreement. There was an executive session on March 28th, April 4th, to discuss issues pertaining to potential purchase or lease of real estate, April 5th, to discuss administrative personnel and administrative realignment for specific positions, to the extent some of which was outlined as a few minutes ago. And also in March 29th, there was also a one to discuss personnel issues.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ruiz.
That concludes.
Yes, that concludes.
Thank you. We will now move into public comments on agenda items only. Just to remind everybody, residents or Cheltenham taxpayers who are in the audience are permitted to comment on agenda items only. Speakers' comments will be limited at the board's discretion to 5 minutes or less. If there's anybody with us this evening who would like to give comments on agenda items, please step forward. I ask that every speaker introduce himself and what part of the township are you from.
Myron Goldman, Elkins Park. Firstly, I was sad to read the resignation of Tim Johnson. Mr. Johnson was the most caring professional teacher who had a tremendous impact on my life. I was now a math teacher outside of Boston, and he'll be missed. Secondly, I'd like to thank Dr. Marseille and the entire board for tabling the calendar. Thank you very much.
We will not be voting on the calendar this evening, and that we will bring conversation about the calendar and vote to the next legislative meeting.
Okay, so why was it changed? Or I see you received our letter. I just think there's a lot of people that came out, and you know, I'm sure we respect your time, we respect ours.
All right, it's
more additional information, please.
We're not going to engage in a conversation. What we typically do is we take all the comments, and then if there are questions to be responded to, this is how we do it every month, then they will be responded to. We can have a conversation after the meeting or set up another time to have a conversation. As of this evening, we are not moving forward with the vote on the calendar for 2016-2017. We did receive the letter that was sent to the school board that was shared with all the school board members, and I did respond to Amy, who had forwarded it to us.
Okay, so that response. So the next, so maybe you could make public the next meeting in time, the place, and if that will be on the agenda for sure, and any other information you could give.
Thank you. Other comments?
My name is Mark Smith, I live in Glenside, and I was wondering if the presentation we just made, there was a change in the organization. Will this require additional staff? And how many?
Are you done with your question? Thank you.
Hi, good evening. I'm Amy Khan. Thank you. I sent the letter, forwarded the letter. And I don't mean to beat it, of course. I don't quite understand the process. It sounds like the calendar is going to be voted on at the next meeting. I'm trying to understand it. If it was tabled, presumably in part, and I'm assuming because you received the letter and you want further discussion, but I'm trying to understand, are we going to be involved in that discussion? competition? Is there going to be a, you're saying you don't want a competition now, and that's fine, but I'm just trying to understand, the process isn't clear.
Okay, thank you. We'll clarify that for you.
At what point?
Are you done with your question?
I am.
Okay, we'll clarify. Thank you. Sometimes they look at the calendar over the course of the next 2 years, and they determine from programmatic needs of the district what is their recommendation to the superintendent in terms of that calendar, in terms of when school is going to open, in terms of the final days of school, other, and more specifically in terms of religious observances and things of that nature. Last year, when I got here in late July, the board had gone through that process. They looked, 15 people got together from different races, different genders, different religious affiliations, different socioeconomic status, different gender, a representation of this district, and they gave recommendation. The board voted on that calendar. I arrived here in late July. The calendar is supposed to get voted on, and I get a myriad of, there was some confusion, I'm not sure what's going on, we weren't involved, you can't vote on this. So in light of the community expressing concern, I did not move forward with the committee's recommendation and decided to move forward with the original calendar that has historically been into place, which the committee recommended to change. We followed the same process this calendar year. We got 15 individuals that represent the diversity of this community, looked at all the angles and the needs of the district. Some people may not like that, some people might not favor that. Every decision is extremely difficult and not taken lightly. That decision was made. Since then, there's been questions about the process, about concerns, about insensitivity to the fact that we might not be sensitive to other groups in terms of doing that. We tried to convey why we believe that is the calendar. The committee agreed that that's what they want to recommend. In light of conversations that were forwarded to my attention, I made a recommendation to the board. I said, you know what? Let's not vote on this tonight. Let's process the information that we have received. And I'd like to bring this up for discussion at the following legislative meeting. What does that mean? That means that at that meeting, I'm going to make a recommendation to the board about the calendar. And it will be here. It will be at 7:45, and all are welcome to attend. That's how the process has worked long before my tenure here.
This will be May 12th?
May 12th. 7:45.
Sorry, let me correct that. I gave you bad information. It looks like the we always meet on the second Tuesday. That is Tuesday, May 10th, 7:45 p.m.
May 10th, 7:45 p.m. Sorry about that. I don't mean to come on the wrong day. Don't get mad at me. It is May 10th.
7:45.
Thank you.
So I hope that provides some clarification. This board does have to act on a calendar for the 2016-2017 school year, and that will take place next month, May 10th at 7:45. There is another opportunity for public input at the end of the meeting, but we are going to continue to move forward with the approval of the minutes. May I have a motion, please? Second. Back down. Roy, all in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. We have a presentation from KCBA on facility plan. Please come forward.
Today, the board has this opportunity to review your master plan and your needs as well as your workforce study. We brought together a good team. I'm going to kind of discuss stuff. For KCBA Architect, we have over 40 years of experience in schools. We have over 200 major PD projects, capital projects. State of Pennsylvania, 36 master plan for school districts in the area. So just wanted to show you that the following. I'm personally a resident of Cheltenham. I've been a resident for 20 years. I have two daughters in the school district. So this is very important for me to help help the community and to evaluate the facilities. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce some of our team.
Well, my name is Jim Kiefer. I'm a senior project manager at KCBA, and my job was to put together this study. I worked with a team of engineers that looked at all the buildings and met with the administration, worked closely with Ray to develop the study.
I'm Lee Slayer, Slayer Huffman Associates. We do mechanical, electrical engineering. We've been working with KCEA for over 30 years, and Slayer Huffman Associates has been involved in three new elementary schools, as well as Cedar Grove and numerous smaller projects at the high school.
I'm sorry, I might be some I'm not speaking loud enough. So the master plan, what we do on the master plan, we're taking what we do, your educational goals as well as your operational goals. Is this school achieving what it needs to achieve academically and educationally? Is the building providing what it needs to for that to happen? And that's what we're taking a look in the study. We also take a look on how that the building is operating. Is it efficient as it should? Is it serving its purpose? And is energy sufficient? And will it do it over its life of its building? So this is part of what this master plan was representing. The background that We have, it's clear that Cheltenham is under a modernization of its educational process. It's enhancing its buildings from Myers, which has been renovated with an addition, and then you have Glenside, Cheltenham, and Winfoot have been replaced. And currently, Cedarbrook is under a rebuild. So it's clear that the district is under a modernization of its education facilities. Our focus is really to take a look at the high school, Elkins Park, as well as the administration. We did take a look at the newer buildings, but obviously they've been built in accordance with what your needs were. So our main focus tonight is going to be on those three facilities. The goals. We're looking to take a look and make sure that the students, as they go through the program, their educational needs, the facility provide parity for them, you know, for their educational needs. We're also going to take a look at your operating costs as well as long-term facility functionality of the buildings. I'm sorry if I'm rushing this over. It's a long presentation. It's over like 400 pages, so it takes a while to get through. We're just trying to summarize everything for you. The process, we're not looking to create a project edge. We're just trying to give the board the right foundation to make the right decisions for the remaining facilities. It's an appropriate time to do this at this point, considering the projects that have gone through. It's a way to analyze how those buildings are, how the older buildings are performing, and what needs they may need. I'm going to pass this over to Jim. We're going to talk about a lot of the good things that we see at the school, and we're going to talk about some things that are not so good. So that I get invited to the next picnic, I'm going to let Jim talk about it.
Thank you. I'm going to go through the bulk of the study, and we're really looking at your existing buildings and your existing program. I'm going to try to get through this as quick as I can. We've been through it a week ago. But this is really a summary of a very large book, and there's a lot of data in that book to supplement what we're going to present tonight. When we look at the buildings in question, we're really looking at how they function, how the educational model is working in the building. We're looking at the condition of the buildings, studying the envelope to see what condition all the materials are in the systems. We really focus on code compliance and energy efficiency. We want to make sure that your buildings meet the codes, that they're accessible to as many students as possible. And certainly we focus on security to make sure that all your buildings are meeting their safety goals. So a big piece of the book is the study of each individual building. This is a snapshot of a couple of pages that are in the book. For Elkins Park and the high school, these portions of the book are about 40 pages each. So we go into great detail looking at each individual component of the building, describing what it is, and potentially what the issues are with it. When we identify a problem, we highlight the issue in red, and we give it a tag number so that we can track that later in the study, and it's easy for you to go through the book and find out, you know, what are the bullet points, what are the problems with that building. We did look at all your buildings. I'm going to go through the elementary schools quickly, primarily because they are relatively new and in great shape. There is a portion of the facilities report covers each of these buildings. We're going to focus a little more on the others. Cheltenham was built in 2012, and it's in very good condition. Glenside, very similar, 20 years older than that, 2011. Again, it's in very good condition. One of the keys of this study is we really focusing on the negative, you know, what's wrong with your buildings, but we really want to bring home the point that you have four elementary schools that are in great shape. You're really on a great path to having very efficient and modern facilities. So don't take all the bad news that's in the study too much to heart. We really are in good condition. Myers is another example of that. It was recently renovated. It's in good shape. All these buildings, they're under warranty for the most part yet. Their systems are still relatively new, and they were developed based on your education program. The last one is Winco. That's the newest one constructed in 2015. Again, it's in great shape. Our major recommendation with these four buildings is to develop a maintenance plan so that we take care of the buildings that are new and maximize the life that we can get out of them. So now we'll start talking about the three buildings that aren't in this good shape. First is Elkins Park. The building was built in 1954, so it is quite old. It was an addition in 91, but most of the building is from the 50s. The condition of the building is poor. We're listing as fair poor, but it really is more poor than fair. And we'll go through some of the detail on that here. Like I said, there's about 40 pages of analysis on this building. And these are just a couple pictures. We have a shot of the boilers up at the top here. The electric panels next to it, and then the picture of the piping down here. When you walk in Elkins Park, it might not look too bad in the lobby, but when you go down in the boiler room and you go down in the crawl space, this is the condition of the systems. These are original to the building. They're definitely at the end of their life expectancy and need replacement. We also looked at the envelope of the building. The masonry is not in very good shape. It has a lot of cracks, and water is getting into the exterior wall of the building, which can create exponential problems for you down the road. The equipment within the building, here's a shot of some of the casework. The finishes and the casework are in poor condition, some original to the building and in your replacement. And this shot here is of the roof. That's the patch that was done on top of the old roof, and the patch is failed. So it's really indicative of the condition of some of the exterior envelope systems. One of the key components of Elkins Park that we focused on was the crawl space. Probably most people don't know that underneath the building is a crawl space under probably 80% of the building. And it's an unconditioned space. There's water supply piping in there, heating piping, and it's in poor condition. It's not insulated. And so major components of your building, critical components, are exposed to the environment, exposed to the three salt cycle, which is really not the best condition. You really do not want to have a crawl space and have utilities down in that area. Shelton High School is the next building that we looked at. Very similar age. It's a little newer, 1958. There's an addition in 65 and renovation in 2000. In general, most of the building dates from the 50s and 60s. And the condition is very poor. The high school is not in near as bad shape as Elkins Park. I don't want to paint that picture. There's definitely some good bones in high school, but it does have its share of issues to deal with. Part of the analysis is looking at the sites of the building. Certainly the paving, the curbing, the sidewalks are in poor condition. We have also problems with the stormwater. We have plenty of water in a lot of places, a lot of flooded fields. The stormwater really wasn't managed there when it was originally built very well. And so major recommendation is to deal with stormwater. Similar to Elkins Park, there's some structural issues with the exterior of the building. Certainly some masonry issues to be addressed. Again, anywhere with water seeping into the building, that's an area we want to focus on because that's what really shortens the life of any of the buildings. And the roof, this is a shot of the roof. Majority of the roof is at the end of its life expectancy, with the exception of the roof that was put on the little heater. Here's some of the shots of the interior. This is the gym floor. The floor is original to the building. You can see it's been patched where it got wet at some point. This is a shot of some of the casework in one of the science labs. The casework, the finishes are not in very good shape. We focused a lot of attention to the pool area. It really culminated a bunch of these issues that I'm talking about with the condition. There's structural issues with the pool leaks. The mechanical system is at the end of its life. And the primary problem with the pool is it's not accessible. Not just the pool, but the locker rooms adjacent to the pool are not accessible. And so we have a major program element in the building that, potentially not all the students have access to. And any time that we're looking at a building, we really want to focus on getting the most space available to all the kids. So this is an area that we're gonna spend some more time on later in the presentation. The last building is this building that we're in right now, the administration building. It was originally built in 1951 as a school and converted to administration. Very similar in age, very similar in condition to Elkins Park. The envelope is not in very good shape in the early issues. There's some safety issues. I'm sure everybody's familiar with how you come on and off this property with your car. It's not a very safe interchange. That's not ideal. We definitely recommend fixing that. There are certainly conditions with the envelope. The brick is in very poor shape. The roof is in very poor shape. And then inside, these are a couple shots of the interiors, some of the offices and support rooms. These are spaces that your administrators work in, and they really are in need of some help.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.